صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، ما خاب والله من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ والتجأ إليكم. يا ليتنا يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغداة والإيصال، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Between your gatherings of the loud remembrance of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. For the love and the respect of Sayyidi wa Mawlai Abi Abdullah al Hussein, recite the second salawat. As a gift to the soul of Sayyidi wa Mawlai al-Imam Zainul Abideen, recite the third salawat with the loudest of your voices. One of the very important subjects that needs to be examined thoroughly in such nights is the history of this minbar, is the history of this pulpit dedicated to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. When was this minbar founded? The history of this pulpit dedicated to the days and the nights of Muharram and Safar. The history and the principles of this minbar. As we all know, in the days of Muharram and in the days of Safar, we are meant to commemorate a death. A death of a beloved, the beloved Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. However, usually when people commemorate a death, they don't sit and seek knowledge. While they commemorate a death, they sit and they mourn, and they cry, and they weep, and they beat their chests. How is it that while we mourn for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein in the days and the nights of Muharram and Safar, we have a pulpit dedicated to educating the Muslim community? Who was the founder of this pulpit? If we come to the history of the majalis of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein salawatullahi alayh, we find that the very first person to begin and establish a majlis was as Sayyida Zainab bint Amir al-Mu'mineen in the chambers and in the palace of Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad. When as Sayyida Zainab was taken as a captive to the palace of Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad as a prisoner, there he asked as Sayyida Zainab, How do you find what Allah has done to you and to your brother and to your family? How do you define this, Zainab? That your brother has been beheaded, your whole family has been wiped out. كَيْفَ تَرِينْ صُنْعَ اللَّهِ فِيكُمْ This is what Allah has done to you. As Sayyida Zainab responds to him, وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا I did not see anything besides good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then she continues on and she gives a speech. But she gives a speech while she's in her full hijab. And while she speaks to the man from behind the curtain, behind the hijab. And she did not speak for herself, but when she was asked, she responds. That is why we have to come to the second character. We have to come to the second majlis and see the qualities at the second majlis. The second character that carried out the torch of the majalis and the minbar of Aba Abdullah was his very son Zainul Abideen. When they took Zainul Abideen as a captive to the palace of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, Imam Zainul Abideen was not forced to speak, but he asked to speak. Imam Zainul Abideen was not given the right to speak, but he insisted to speak. And Imam Zainul Abideen did not speak while he was sleeping or sitting or resting. But Imam Zainul Abideen sat on the minbar. And he gave a sermon, just like any other religious authority would stand on a sermon. Now, when we come to those two individuals, you may ask and wonder why is it that we're going to examine Imam Zainul Abideen as the founder of the minbar, and not Sayyida Zainab. For number one, as Sayyida Zainab, they say that she is a woman. And woman may be emotional. And because of her emotions, she gave the sermon. And the majlises and the minbar of Aba Abdullah was not founded by her because she never sat on a minbar. And because she was asked, she spoke. So if you're not asked, don't speak. Furthermore, Imam Zainul Abideen's difference is no. He initiated the minbar. He sat on the minbar. And the difference is you may not have to follow Zainab as an Islamic leader. But every Muslim must follow Zainul Abideen. And every Muslim must revere Zainul Abideen and use Zainul Abideen as an exemplary figure in his life. And inshallah we'll prove that. Not every Muslim will tell you, I have to follow Zainab. But through the proof that we will bring now, every Muslim must revere and respect Zainul Abideen, Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. How? The first hadith is narrated in the books of the tafsir that do the tafsir of the ayah that I began my lecture with. Tafsir al-Kabir, Tafsir al-Fakhr al-Razi, Tafsir al-Qurtubi, Tafsir al-Dhahabi, all those tafsirs that happen to be the most important and influential tafsirs in the Muslim world say that when this ayah was sent down, which ayah? في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه in homes and residences where Allah's name is remembered in an abundance. In those homes, Allah has chosen to elevate them with His honor, with His dignity. Allah has remembered in them in the morning and He is remembered at night. When this ayah was sent down, the first Khalifa Abu Bakr went to Rasulullah. He says to him, Ya Rasulullah, Ma hadihi al-buyut? Oh Ya Rasulullah, what homes are those homes? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ تِلْكَ بُيُوتُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ It is the houses of the prophets. Then he, the hadith says, pointed at the house of Fatima and Ali. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, ahadha min tilka al-buyut? Is this house one of those homes that you're speaking about? Rasulullah says, bal huwa min afadhiliha. But this house is not just part of the homes that refers, this ayah refers to. It is amongst the best of the homes that this ayah refers to. Now, who grew up in this home? Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein grew up in that home. And who gave the upbringing to Zainul Abideen? Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein is part of that household. Zainul Abideen is connected to that home and residence that Allah chooses to elevate. He's connected to that residence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I shall elevate. Zainul Abideen comes from such a family. Therefore, it's a mandatory upon all the Muslims to revere him, to respect him. For he comes from such a noble clan. He comes from such a noble residence. Number two, is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anh, narrated by Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar has a book that speaks of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And when he speaks of the Tabi'een, he brings Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. He speaks of the biography of Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali, Imam Zain al-Abideen. And he narrates this hadith from Jabir ibn Abdullah. He says, Jabir narrates, I once entered the chamber of Rasulullah and I saw him playing with Imam Hussein. وَكَانَ يُدَاعِبُ الْحُسَيْنِ I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you're playing with Hussein. He said, yes. سَيُولَدُ لِحَاذَا وَلَدٌ إِسْمُهُ عَلِيٍ This boy in my lap, Hussein, he will receive a son, his name will be Ali. ينادى المنادي يوم القيامة أين سيد العابدين فيقوم ولده ويقول ها أنا يا رب This is the hadith. What is the hadith? That he will receive a son, his name is Ali. And on the day of judgment, Allah will call out, where is the master of the worshippers? سيد العابدين. And his son will stand and says, here am I, O my Lord. Therefore, if a person in the day of judgment, Allah recognizes him in such a manner. And Allah distinguishes him as the master of the worshippers. Every Muslim must follow him. Every Muslim must revere him. Number three is the hadith narrated by Bukhari. Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di 12. Another hadith narrated by Muslim. Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di 12 kulluhum min Quraysh. All of them are from Quraysh. The third hadith says, Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di 12 kulluhum min Quraysh. Wa min wuldi Fatima. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal narrates this hadith. That's the khulafa after me are 12. And then Muslim says they're all from Quraysh. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says they are all from the children of Fatima. Now let's examine this hadith. This hadith that's mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim states that the successors of Rasulullah must be 12. Now we know that the whole Muslim community that attributes itself to the madhab of the school of thought of the Sahaba say that the khulafa after Rasulullah are 4. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now after those individuals, some people say no, we continue to say Hassan comes after Ali and Muawiyah comes after Hassan. Those are 6. What happened to the rest of the 6? Nobody comes and says that Yazid was a khalifa of Rasulullah. Yazid is a man that caused waqi'atul harra. In brief, waqi'atul harra was when Yazid's army, after the killing of Imam Hussein, invaded Medina. Go look at the books of history and the history of the Muslim brothers and sisters that attribute themselves to the madrasa of the Sahaba. They say that in Waqa'atul Harra, Yazid's army invaded Medina. And they raped 1,000 girls in Medina to a point where the next year there were children born out of that rape. And they brought their dogs and their horses and they tied them up inside the masjid of Rasulullah. Not only that, At-Tabari says they were raping the woman inside the masjid of Rasulullah. Some narrations say Yazid's army would wipe themselves with the book of the Quran after rape. This was Yazid. Now how can I come and say Yazid continues to be the seventh Khalifa and the eighth Khalifa of Bani Umayyah? Therefore the sixth Khalifa, according to some, is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Now I don't want to get into the details of who Muawiyah was. I spoke of Muawiyah a couple of days ago. Which school of thought comes and says that the Khulafa are 12? They're all from Quraysh and they're all from the children of Fatima. The only school of thought is the 12ers of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, the 12ers of the Shia. And Zainul Abideen happens to be the fourth Khalifa of Rasulullah. So when now I come and say Zainul Abideen is the founder of the Majalis of Imam Hussein and the founder of this series of lectures for Imam Hussein, the whole entire Muslim nation must follow. Because of the position of Zainul Abideen. Because Rasulullah appointed Zainul Abideen. Because of the family that Zainul Abideen comes from. Now, when we come to examine how Imam Zainul Abideen began the revolution after Imam Hussein to promote the teachings of Imam Hussein, we have to come and examine that very sermon that he gave in the palace of Yazid. But before we examine the sermon that he gave in the palace of Yazid, we'll examine one of the hadiths of Imam Zainul Abideen. One of the words of Imam Zainul Abideen. And from the words of Zainul Abideen, you realize what type of man he was. And what type of teaching Zainul Abideen had in store for the Muslim community. Please recite aloud salawat. A man comes to him, he says to him, Yabna Rasulullah, kayfa asbaht? How are you doing, Yabna Rasulullah? He says, asbahtu matlooban li thaman. I've woke up this morning and debt to eight. He wakes up every morning thinking and knowing that he's in debt to the following eight. When we wake up in the morning, the only thing we think of is how to get to work and get back home so we can relax and finish off our day. When Zainul Abideen wakes up in the morning, he says, I wake up in debt to the following eight. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yutalibuni bil fara'id. Allah wants me to perform the fara'id. I'm in debt to Allah. As in, I wake up in the morning thinking and knowing that I'm in debt to Allah. Many of us don't wake up in the morning knowing that we're in debt to Allah. When the time of salah comes, we pray. But I don't wake up knowing I have to make a debt. I have a debt, I have to perform it. I have to remove this debt off my shoulder. What are the fara'id? The fara'id are the wajibat. Salah. He knows he's in debt to Allah with salah. Sawm. Fasting. He knows he's in debt to Allah when it comes to Hajj. He knows he's in debt to Allah when it comes to charity, khums, zakat. He knows he's in debt to Allah in the area of Amr bil Ma'roof. He knows he's in debt to Allah in the area of Amr bil Nahi an al Munkar. He wakes up every day knowing he's in debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, wa nabiyyu bis sunnah. And the Prophet wants the sunnah from me. He wakes up every morning knowing he's in debt to Rasulullah to perform his sunnah. How many of us wake up every morning thinking of Rasulullah? Imam Zainul Abideen wakes up knowing he's in debt to Rasulullah and sunnah. What is sunnah? Sunnah is the mustahab. What do I mean by the mustahab? Allah says that the wajib salah is 17 rak'ah. 17 rak'ah of mandatory prayers. But the recommended prayers are how many rak'ah altogether, mandatory and recommended, come out to be 51 rak'ah. And that is part of performing Allah's duty and performing the sunnah. One of the sunnah, one of the signs of the mu'mineen is ziyaratul arba'een. وَالْتَخَدْتُمْ بِالْيَمِينِ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَاحِدُ الْخَمْسِينَ and the 51 rak'ah. Many people end up going to ziyarah of arba'een to Imam Hussein. Many people wear the ring in the right arm, but others don't continue the hadith. One of them is to perform the 51 rak'ah every day. تعفر الجبين. One of them is making sure that I pray so much to Allah and sujood, that's the sign of sujood remains on my forehead. Therefore, Imam Zainul Abidin says, I wake up every morning looking for the sunnah. That's why in their books, they narrate Imam Zainul Abidin used to perform 1,000 rak'ah of salah every day. خير التابعين سيد العابدين سيد الساجدين. He had a farm, he had 500 trees, he would go and perform 2 rak'ah of prayer under every tree. Now many are thinking this does not sound logical. How is it possible to perform 1,000 rak'ah every day? I'll tell you. If I come and calculate it throughout my own understanding, yes, it does not sound logical. I admit. But let me tell you of our day-to-day life today, what we live today, what we witness today, and tell me if it sounds logical or not. Today, in between 100 yards, this house dedicated to Imam Hussein and another one right across the street. How many people for 60 days and nights are fed every day with the food of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein? 60 days come and go, and people come, an average of 10,000, 20,000 people maybe in those 2 months, come and take free food in the name of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Does this sound logical? 20,000 people come and eat for free? Now, I'll tell you an average of 200 to 300 million people are fed daily, for 60 nights in the name of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. The followers of Ahlul Bayt all around the globe, after the majalis, have the tabarruk, the barakah of Aba Abdullah, and it runs for 60 days, and an average of 200 million people attend the 60 days of majalis all around the globe. Non-Muslims attend the majalis, non-followers of the madhab of Ahlul Bayt. Is it logical if I come and tell you 200 million people feed off Imam Hussein for 60 days every year, and every year the number grows? Doesn't sound logical. And the days of Arba'een for 10 days, is it logical somebody walks from Basra 600 kilometers to Karbala barefoot? Is it logical that people all the way from Basra to Karbala eat and drink and sleep for free? 20 million people? It's not compatible with logic, but it's happening today. Go read the LA Times, go read the New York Times. It tells you that 10 million people enter the ziyarah of Imam Hussein just in the day of Arba'een. 10 million. They all eat for free. They drink for free. Reside for free. So when we come and look at Ahlul Bayt, we have to see the blessings that Allah has given to the life of Ahlul Bayt. And the blessing of those who connect themselves to the life of Ahlul Bayt. Not only those of Ahlul Bayt, but those connected to Ahlul Bayt as well enjoy the same circumstance. So when I come and say Imam Zainul Abidin prayed 1,000 rak'ah a day, yes, at first it might sound illogical, but when I examine the work of Ahlul Bayt and the life of Ahlul Bayt, I find that blessing of Allah in the life of Ahlul Bayt. Then he says, وَالْمَلِكَانُ بِالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. Third, those two angels want good deeds from me. Those two angels want me to perform the good deeds. That is why narrations say Imam Zainul Abidin, when he was being washed by his son Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Baqir saw two ropes, lines of ropes on his body. And he said, when he was asked, he said, one of them is when they chained my father to the camel after the day of Ashura. The marks still on the body of Zainul Abideen. And second is the rope of the bag that he carried every night to go and take money and food and clothes to those less fortunate in the city of Medina. Imam Zainul Abideen had a family member that used to call him stingy. Until the day Imam Zainul Abideen departed, he came to Imam al-Baqir. He said, today I realized who was bringing me money at my doorstep every night. Today that Zainul Abideen has passed away, and I don't get the money every day at my home, at my service, I realize it was my cousin Zainul Abideen. Many orphans that night did not sleep because they were hungry. Why? Because Zainul Abideen was no longer there. Imam Zainul Abideen made sure that he filled his book of A'mal with A'mal al-Salih. وَالنَّفْسُ بِالشَّهْوَةِ And my soul calls on to me to fulfill its desires. As in, my soul tells me every morning, you have to fulfill the desire of fame, you have to fulfill the desire of wealth, you have to fulfill the desire of popularity, you have to fulfill your lust. But what does Imam Zainul Abideen do to this nafs? The nafs does not control Zainul Abideen, but Zainul Abideen controls the nafs. He has so much control to this nafs that a man comes to him and he says to him, I declare that your mother is an adulteress. He says to Zainul Abideen, your mother committed zina. Now imagine what would happen if somebody told me and you. It's Zainul Abideen. He says to him, if my mother committed adultery, may Allah forgive her. And if you're accusing my mother, may Allah forgive you. This is how Zainul Abideen controlled his nafs. And I said last year in one of my lectures, that every morning we have to follow the three principles in order to have the nafs controlled by me and not me being controlled by the nafs. Number one is musharatatun nafs. I have to speak to this nafs every morning. To this hand, do not sin. To this tongue, do not sin. To those ears, do not hear the haram. Do not hear the injustice. Do not hear the accusations. Do not hear the disrespect. Do not hear the fuhsh. Those legs, do not walk towards the haram. Those hands, do not touch the haram. Musharatatun nafs. When does this happen? After the morning prayers. When I wake up in the morning, and I perform the morning prayers, this is what I do to my nafs. I make a vow and a contract with this nafs. Then in the end of the day, muhasabatun nafs. I come and say to this hand, did you commit sin? To this tongue, to the eyes, to the legs, to the feet, and see whether they were compatible with the vow in the morning. If not, then mu'aqabatun nafs. Then you have to come and discipline the soul. For every sin, pay extra charity. For every sin of the tongue, recite the Holy Quran at night and don't sleep. For every sin of the feet, stand up in the middle of the night and perform Salat al-Layl. For every sin of the hands, go work and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the sins that we have performed. And that is how you put the nafs under your control and not the nafs. Controlling us was shaitan bil ma'siyah. And shaitan every morning calls on to me to do ma'siyah. To sin. Allah in the Holy Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ He says to me and you, I'm your creator. I know who's your worst enemy. Shaytan is your worst enemy. Enter the realm of peace. Follow peace and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, for he is your greatest of enemies. Now some people are unaware of the whispers of shaitan. Unaware that the shaitan from the morning, while you open your eyes until you go to sleep, with his soldiers is trying to take you towards sin. It's trying to take you, not sin, misery. It's trying to take you towards your hardship. It's trying to ruin your life. Shaitan does not understand whether he is your child, whether he is 1 year old, whether he is just born, whether you have a family, whether you don't have a family, does not care about your reputation and money and wealth. Shaitan is there to destroy you according to Allah. He is your greatest of enemy. We have to be aware of the whispers of Shaitan. Every morning when I wake up, I know Shaitan remains to be the worst of my enemies. One of my teachers said one day I was praying inside the masjid and a young man came to me. He said, "Sayyid, I've committed a bad crime, a great sin." I said to him, "What?" He's a young man that comes to the majlis, performs the salah, performs the fasting, pays his khums. He said, "Sayyid, I have a newborn. My wife left this newborn with me. I came back from work. She left." He started crying. He cried, he cried, he cried. I tried to put him to sleep. He didn't. I tried to give him milk. He didn't. Suddenly the shaitan came to me. I took this child and threw him. Several moments later, the child was quiet. I couldn't hear the child anymore. So I went to pick him up to put him in bed and I realized that the child has died. I killed my own child. Why? Because I was not aware every morning to remove the whispers of shaitan away from my life. Imam Zainul Abideen says, when I wake up every morning, I know shaitan is there. I know shaitan is there to put such whispers in front of me and to practice his evilness and maliciousness in my life. وَالْعِيَالُ بِالْقُوتِ And he says, I'm in debt to my family to bring them halal rizq, to bring them the sustenance. Every day when he wakes up in the morning, he knows he has to go to work. He has to work hard to bring the halal of rizq and to give it to his family members. وَمَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ بِالْرُوحِ And every day when I wake up in the morning, I wonder, I'm in debt to Malak al-Mawt with this ruh. He's going to come and collect one day. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it next week? I'm in debt to Malak al-Mawt. Eventually he's going to come. And finally, وَالْقَبْرُ بِالْجَسَدِ And this qabr, this grave, wants my jasad, wants my body. Eventually all of us will go into that grave 6 feet under. Imam Zain al-Abideen wakes up every morning with that thought. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Now with that said, we realize the position of Zain al-Abideen. We realize the influence of Zain al-Abideen. And he is the author of Zabur Ali Muhammad. Sahifa Sajjadiyah. Take time and read Sahifa Sajjadiyah and the supplications of Zain al-Abideen in Sahifa Sajjadiyah. Or read Dua Abu Hamza al-Thamali on the nights of the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. What a dua. What a supplication. Read his dua Jawshan al-Kabir. يا حبيبا من لا حبيب له يا مؤنسا من لا مؤنسا له يا جليسا من لا جليسا له سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت الغاوث الغاوث خلصنا من النار يا رب This is Zain al-Abideen. Those are the days and the nights of Zain al-Abideen. A man says, I saw a young man walking barefoot from Medina to Mecca. I went to him, I said to him, من أنت؟ وأين زادك وأين راحلتك وأين مقصدك؟ Who are you? Where is your cattle? Where is your food? And where are you headed? He says, رَاحِلَتِي رِجْلَاي My cattle, my horse, or my feet? Barefoot. وزادي تقواي. And my food is my taqwa. ومقصدي مولاي. And my destination is my mawla. Walking barefoot to Hajj. From Mecca and Medina. This was Zainul Abideen. He was given this title by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the hadith said. And I read the hadith unto you. Sayyidul Abideen, the master of the worshippers. As Sayyid ibn Tawus narrates, he says, It was dark, I was in Masjid al-Haram. I saw that people were doing the tawaf until everyone left. It was dark, there was no one left. He said, I saw a young man looking to the right, looking to the left. When he saw that there is no one there, he went and he held on to the ropes of the Kaaba. And he says, Ilahi, غلقت الملوك أبوابها. Oh Allah, all the kings have shut their doors. ولكن بابك مفتوح للطالبين. Oh Allah, but your door remains open. إلهي اغفر لي ولوالدي. Oh Allah, forgive me and forgive my parents. The narrator goes to him, he says to him, Zainul Abideen, you are Ali ibn al-Husayn. How can you say this? He says to him, دَعْ حَدِيثَ أَبِي وَجَدِّي إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا وَخَلَقَ النَّارَ لِمَنْ عَصَاهُ وَلَوْ كَانَ سَيِّدًا قُرَشِيًّا. He says, leave the discussion of my father, who my father was, who my grandfather is. Allah created heaven for those who obey Him, even if it's an Abyssinian slave. And He created the hellfire for those who disobey him, even if it's a Sayyid from Quraysh. This was Sayyid al-Abideen. He was taken as captive and they took him inside the palace of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. When they took him to the palace of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, he was 22 years old. He was 22 years old. They took him. And like I said, Imam Zainul Abideen did not remain silent. As soon as he walked into the palace, he said, Ya Yazid, allow me to go. أصعد على هذه الأعواد لكي أتكلم لله كلاما لله فيه رضا ولهؤلاء الجلساء فيه أجرا وثواب. He says, Ya Yazid, allow me to go on those pieces of wood. He does not call them minbar. Because a minbar is a minbar dedicated to Allah, dedicated to Ahlul Bayt, dedicated to the Quran. If it's not, then it's a'wad, pieces of wood. He says, allow me to go on top of those pieces of wood. So I speak of statements, لِلَّهِ فِيهَا رِضَى, for Allah to be pleased with. And that is the first principle of the minbar. كَلَامًا لِلَّهِ فِيهِ. Allah has to be pleased with what I say here, not the people. Today, if I come and see what is the most popular subject amongst the people, what should I say so that the people would not be disheartened? What should I say so the sisters won't be disheartened? What should I say so that the brothers won't be disheartened? What should I say that the community likes? No. Allah says this, Imam Zain al-Abideen says this, minbar. You speak of what Allah wants you to speak. What Allah wants you to speak. What Allah wants you to preach. That's the first principle. Second, لهؤلاء الجلساء فيه أجرا وثواب. And for those listening, there has to be reward. And here he's referring to the reward of علم, طلب العلم. He's referring to those who sit under the minbar and learn, educate themselves. And we spoke of the reward given to those who seek knowledge. And how Islam emphasizes to seeking knowledge. Now if I don't speak Arabic and go sit in a majlis, and I hear the speaker but I don't understand, it's true, I get the bare minimum thawab of attending the majlis of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. However, if I don't understand, get the thawab of learning? If I don't speak Urdu, and I go to an Urdu majlis, I get the thawab of being part of the majalis of Imam Hussein, but I don't get the thawab of seeking knowledge. Likewise, if I go and sit in a Farsi lecture and I don't understand, it applies. That is why we have to make sure that number one, this minbar is dedicated to knowledge. And number two, when we come to the minbar and we leave, we come out and leave and we have gained knowledge. Our knowledge has been elevated and our position has been elevated. So those are the two principles of the majalis of Imam Hussein that were founded by Zainul Abidin. He went inside the chamber. He says to him, Ya Yazid, allow me to go and speak. Yazid said, no, I will not allow him. They came to him, they said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's a young man, he's just come up from tragedy. وَمَا قَدْرُ مَا يُحْسِنْ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ. And what can he know compared to you? And you know Yazid was a very eloquent poet. As in whoever spoke to Yazid, Yazid would respond back with lines of poetry. He was very eloquent. So they said, compared to you, he cannot do so much damage. He says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ آلُ بَيْتٍ زُقُّ الْعِلْمَ زَقَّهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ لَا يُقَاسُ وَصَغِيرُهُمْ جَمْرَةٌ لَا تُدَاسُ. He says he's from a clan and a family that they have drank from the source of knowledge, from the river of knowledge. Their adults are not compared to the rest of humanity, and their younger ones are like pieces of coal that you cannot hold on to. Can you hold on to a piece of coal of fire? They said, Ya Yazid, allow him to go and speak. He's been insisting. Yazid allowed Imam Zainul Abidin. He came on the minbar and he began, فَبَدَأَ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ وَالثَّنَاءِ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أوتينا ستا وفضلنا بسبع أوتينا العلم والحلم والسماحة والفصاحة والشجاعة والمحبة في قلوب المؤمنين وفضلنا بأن منا النبي المختار ومنا الكرار ومنا أسد الله وأسد رسوله ومنا الطيار ومنا سيدة شباب أهل الجنة ومنا سيدة نساء العالمين ومنا مهدي هذه الأمة من عرفني فقد عرفني ومن لم يعرفني أعرفه بحسبي ونسبي أنا ابن مكة ومنى أنا ابن زمزم والصفا أنا ابن من حمل على البراق إلى الهوى أنا ابن من دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى أنا ابن من أوحى إليه الجليل ما أوحى أنا ابن محمد المصطفى أنا ابن علي المرتضى أنا ابن من ضرب خراطيم القلق حتى قالوا لا إله إلا الله أنا ابن من هاجر الهجرتين وبايع البيعتين وجاهد في بدر وحنين ولم يشرك بالله طرفة عين أنا ابن يعشوب المؤمنين وتاج البكائين وأصبر الصابرين من العربي سيدها ومن الورى ليثها وارث المشعرين وأبو السبطين ذاك جدي علي بن أبي طالب أيها الناس أنا ابن نقيات الجيوب أنا ابن عديمات العيوب أنا ابن خديجة الكبرى أنا ابن فاطمة الزهراء. Oh people, we have been given six virtues and we have been superiorized and exalted by seven. We have been given knowledge, eloquence, forbearance, bravery and love in the hearts of the believers, and we have been superiorized over the rest of humanity, and we have been exalted by seven.
For from us is the last messenger of Allah, and from us is Tayyar, and from us is the lion of Allah, and the lion of his messenger Hamza, and from us are the masters of the youth of paradise, and from us is Lady Fatima, and from us is the Mahdi of this Ummah. For those of you who know me, you know me, and for those of you who do not still know me, after this brief introduction, I shall introduce to you myself. I am the son of Mecca and Mina. I am the son of Zamzam and Safa. I am the son of the man that was taken from this earth to Sidratul Muntaha. I am the son of the man whom was elevated on the back of Jibra'il to the seventh heaven. I am the man that reached the nearest entity to Allah, the Creator. I am the son of the man who received the revelations. I am the son of the man who led prayers twice with the heavenly angels in congregation. I am the son of Muhammadin al-Mustafa. Then he continues and he says, I am the son of the man whom fought the transgressors until they said, La ilaha illallah. I am the son of the man who went on to migrations. I am the son of the man who fought with two swords. I am the son of the man who fought with two spears. I am the son of the man who fought in Badr and Hunayn and never did shirk with Allah even for a blink of an eye. I am the son of the man who is the best of the Arabs, the greatest and most noble and exalted of the non-Arabs. I am the inheritor of the son of the inheritor of the wisdom of the Prophet. I am the son of the man who first was to come towards Islam. I am the son of the man who protected the woman and the sanctity of the Muslim Ummah. I am the son of the man whom fought the transgressors and the polytheists until they said, La ilaha illallah. I am the son of the man whom was like a lion in the battlefields, crushing the enemies of Allah and turning them into powder and releasing them in the wind. I am the son of the man who inherits the knowledge of the Prophet. I am the son of the man who is the father of Sibtain, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. That is my grandfather, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then he continues and he says, I am the son of the woman that had no mistakes. I am the son of the pure woman. I am the son of Khadija al-Kubra. I am the son of Fatima al-Zahra. Then he says, Ana ibn al-Madhbuh, atshanan bi-Karbala. أنا ابن الذي بكت عليه الطير في السماء يا 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 أنا ابن من حرمه من بلد إلى بلد يسبى يا أنا ابن مسلوب العمامة والرداء. He says, I am the son of the man whose body is left on the sands of Karbala. I am the son of the man whom his women are taken as captives from city to city. I am the son of the man who died thirsty. I am the son of the man who the heavenly angels are weeping and crying for. Yazid could no longer see Zain al-Abidin continuing. So he said, make sure we break the sermon with Adhan, even though it was not time for Salah. He says, يَيْحَكَ يَا مُؤَذِّن إِصْعَدْ وَأَذِّن. O Mu'adhin, go and recite the Adhan. So he stops. فَصَعِدَ الْمُؤَذِّن وَقَالْ الله أكبر الله أكبر. زين العابدين says لا أكبر من الله شيء. There is nothing greater than Allah. Then the Muaddin says أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Imam Zainul Abideen says, Shahida bidalika lahmi wa dami wa jildi wa aqli wa bashari. All my body parts witness that there is nothing greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Zainul Abideen takes off his amama. He says, Ya Yazid, ahada Muhammad jaddi am jadduk? In قلت أنه جدك فقد كذبت وكفرت وإن قلت أنه جدي فلما قتلت أبي ظلما بكربلا. He says, Oh Yazid, is this Muhammad my grandfather or your grandfather? If you say that he is your grandfather, then you have abundantly lied. If you say he is my grandfather, then why did you behead my father Hussein? People realize he's the grandson of Rasulullah, the son of Ali, the son of Fatima, the son of Hussein. They came to him, they said to him, Ya Zain al-Abideen, we did not know who you are, we thought you're from the Khawarij. Ya Ibn Rasulullah, a'udhurni. Oh Ya Ibn Rasulullah, forgive me, for I was the one that dumped trash on your head when you came into the palace. I was the one cursing you. I was the one harassing you. Imam Zainul Abideen then was asked, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, where are you staying in this city? We want to come, we want to help you, we want to serve you. He says, أيها الناس قد أسكننا يزيد خريبة الشام. Oh people, you want to know where we're staying? We're staying in the dumps of Sham, in the trash yards of Sham. Narrations say that every time people would see Imam Zainul Abideen, he would be crying. Abu Hamza says to him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, ما داعي لهذا البكاء أن رسول الله مات, أن أمير المؤمنين قد مات, فاطمة قد ماتت, الحسن قد مات. Meaning, يا ابن رسول الله, why do you cry so much? رسول الله died, Imam Ali died, فاطمة died, حسن died, and your father also died. He says to him, Ya Aba Hamza, لا تلمني. Oh, do not blame me, Ya Aba Hamza. Why? فإني كلما تذكرت فرار عمتي زينب من خيمة إلى خيمة. Every time I recall my aunt Zainab running from one tent to another, trying to put out the fire in the body of the children, I could no longer stop crying. Narrations say, one day Imam Zainul Abideen was walking in Medina and he saw a butcher. He went to him. He saw the butcher giving water to the sheep. He says to him, Oh butcher, every time you kill an animal, do you give him water? He says, Yes, Ya Ibn Rasulullah. He says to him, Then why did you kill my father Thursday in Karbala? أين المنادي وحسيناه ومظلوماه وعطشانا. Remember the day that Zainab had to leave with the women and children from Karbala. She puts all the women, all the children on back of the cattle, on the back of the horses, the camels. She was the last one. There was no one to come and put Zainab on the back of her camel. The enemies came. They said to her, Let us carry you. She says, You think that you can touch the body of Zainab bint Amir al-Mu'mineen? Then she looked towards the Euphrates, to that man who was sleeping next to the Euphrates, but he was sleeping without an arm. He She says, Abbas, ya khuya, man tali jibitni, ubidak ya khuya, rakabitni, bas ma rahat anni wa'ubidni, akbak bani maya walatni. She says to him, Abbas, stand up and see that there is no one to put your sister Zainab on the back of the cattle. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم. 10 times, brothers and sisters, I have a haja, you all have hajat. Let us go to Allah with sincerity. Let us make sure that when we walk out of this majlis tonight, Allah has forgiven our sins. Let us make sure when we walk out of this majlis, we walk out of this majlis with a tawbah. I want you, it's Friday night, to raise your voice 5 times all together to Allah, men and women, all of you. Ilahi al-tawbah, Ilahi al-tawbah, Ilahi. Where are those youth, the brothers and sisters? إلهي العفو إلهي العفو إلهي العفو نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم. 10 times, all of you raise your hands to Allah like beggars. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. 5 times for those who have hajat, for those who have illnesses, for those who are suffering from depression, for those who are suffering from poverty, for those who are suffering from difficulty in their relationships, any hajat. بحق مريض كربلاء زين العابدين أما يجيب أمن يجيب أمن يجيب أمن يجيب أمن يجيب Hands to Allah, O Allah, forgive our sins. Shower onto us from your forgiveness. O Allah, our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, those who have passed away from this gathering and are no longer with us, shower onto their graves from your compassion. Shower onto their graves from your mercy. O Allah, every man and every woman in this majlis with a hajah, give them their hajat. O Allah, every man and every woman in this majlis with a dua, with a prayer, with a need, give them their needs. O Allah, every man and every woman in this majlis, those who are ill, those who are suffering from cancer in this majlis, O Allah, بحق مريض كربلاء, bestow onto them from your cure. O Allah, every man and every woman around the globe with an illness, give them cure. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman. Allow the heart of our Imam to be happy and content with us. O Allah, solve the issues of our Mawla Sahib al-Zaman. Bring happiness to the heart of Mawla Sahib al-Zaman. O Allah, allow us to be amongst the best companions of Sahib al-Zaman. O Allah, allow us to be amongst the best followers of Ali Muhammad. محمد. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين قريبا عاجلا وشفاعته آجلا، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والعلماء والشهداء وخدمة الحسين نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
Brothers and sisters, inshallah, tomorrow will be the last majlis. And after the majlis, there will be a brief Q&A, inshallah, right here, because there will be no Urdu majalis. So tonight, inshallah, is the last majlis. We'll see you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.